You're listening to the Ask Drone You podcast. You ask, we answer your drone questions. Whether you're here to turn your passion into profit or you simply fly for fun, we're a community of learners and teachers who aspire to achieve greatness. We are
Drone You.
Hey everyone, and welcome to another episode of Ask Drone You. We've got a very interesting episode today. Some of you might have heard there is a new drone company on the streets or in the skies. And in fact, that is very true. It's something that's come out of all the political hoopla going on the U.S. domestic market. As many of you know, the United States government is trying to ban DJI drones and Chinese drones as a whole. Looking at HR 2864, you can see that this is a very real problem, a very real conundrum. Well, other people are saying we can provide more intelligent solutions to security concerns and problems. And that's where Anzu Robotics comes about. And luckily today we have the CEO, Mr. Randall Warnes, here today to talk about Anzu and their drone, which might look familiar to you. Welcome to the show, my friend. Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah, appreciate you, Paul. We've known each other, like you mentioned, when we were chatting before for a long time, and it's just great to reconnect, fighting the good fight to try to evangelize for this technology to be used in the appropriate way and also to encourage or inspire people to use it in ways that haven't been thought of, because we both believe in aerial robots changing the world. So I appreciate being a part of your show and being able to chat with you about what is possible and what we're doing to try to unlock more of it.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate it. And I honestly appreciate the opportunity to have this conversation. I know a lot of drone pilots are really nervous about what the drone industry would look like in the event of kind of an all-out, not well-researched, not well-thought-out ban. Rather than coming up with, you know, solution-specific examples to solve problems, it's kind of like our boomer representatives just agreed, just like, hey, let's just wipe them all out. I love what you've come up with. So for those that don't know, Anzu Robotics is literally launching today. You've got two new drones, the Raptor, the Raptor T. Do you mind showing us those drones? I know you've got them right there for you.
And so this is a production unit of a Raptor T, a thermal enabled drone, folds out like you would expect it to. And there's a Raptor back there. But yeah, these are familiar drones, high quality drones, high performance drones. And we basically have spent, you know, the last 14, 15 months to try to detangle all of the things that could be considered hurdles for people to acquire these and use these long term and build fleets around them. And so, you know, it's not where we're planning to stop, but it's definitely where we're our starting point with these two products to make really good technology available at an affordable price with a lot of data security in mind.
You know, I know data security is at the forefront kind of this conversation, and a lot of people might say that your drone looks quite familiar. So help us understand, your drone is not made in China.
Correct.
You've mentioned that the parts and the final assembly are made in Malaysia, and that the software to control the drone is actually being operated by the company Aloft, which, if I understand, that's also the group behind the Before You Fly app. Is that right?
I don't know about the Before You Fly app. I know Aloft has been doing, does 75-80% of Lance authorizations in the United States. They are FAA audited, so they're very close on the compliance side of things, as well as their ISO 27001 and SOC 2 Types 2 certified. So they're, you know, at the, I can't say that they are the only drone software developer to do this, but they're a drone software developer that knows how to write a flight app as well as knows how to secure data. So that's why we went that route. And then when you talk about the manufacturing process, we were manufacturing these in Malaysia and worked with that Malaysian manufacturer to help us source componentry once we licensed that technology out to make it so that less and less is being handled or controlled in China. But full transparency, not all of it got pulled out of China. I think, battery technology in China is it's not considered a critical component in the NDAA to a secure drone system. And it's just, you know, where most of the supply comes from, things like motors, screws and components like that. The only one that is part of the conversation of NDAA is the thermal sensor on the Raptor T. finding thermal manufacturers. There's not a ton of them. There's not a ton of them that do high quality stuff. This isn't, you know, controlled by the licensor of the drone technology, but it's still acquired out of China. And we'll see if there's ever a way to change that. But really what we're trying to put out is a product that solves for a certain problem, but is not trying to be everything to everyone. There's certain folks that will just say, look, it needs to be blue list, green list, something like that. And that's just not in our DNA right now.
Well, I think the whole blue list, green list, to be blunt, is a giant crock of crap. You've got an association that's avidly behind banning Chinese drones with a clear conflict of interest. That's also trying to categorize and organize the security of these drones. In my book, there's no legitimacy there. And I think anyone with just the slightest twinge of legal or regulatory framework would say the same thing. That said, there's so much in your statement. So I'm going to try to parse this out, take it from a high level and bring it back down because there's so much that I want to say and ask you questions about. So a lot of people are going to say, hey, your drone looks really familiar, really similar. And you're saying, yes, our drone was licensed to be able to be manufactured in a different location and controlled with a different piece of software. So what you're saying is that you're offering people a mature platform, but in a different way that meets the compliance requirements of the NDAA, which a lot of people even confuse, by the way, because most people say, oh, that's an NDAA approved company. And it's like, well, that's not how it actually works. It's an NDAA approved drone, you know? So, you know, the first question is a lot of people are wondering like, okay, so if this drone is not like the drones that we know, like the Mavics, if it is different, it is separate, it is sourced from a different place. It obviously looks identical and it offers identical specs, which I think is actually cool because at least you as a manufacturer have a mechanical shutter for mapping. So, hey, that's a positive. Yeah. And so my question is for everyone wondering, is it technically an NDAA compliant drone? And do you guys see yourselves kind of producing in mass? And I bring this question up because for a lot of people who are just tuning in or kind of getting a sense of what we're talking about here, what you can do is completely disrupt the entire US market as a whole. Yes, we have Skydio. Yes, we have FreeFly. You know, we've got Inspired Flight as well. And we've got, you know, the Parrot Anafi AI. But all of those drones cannot compete feature-wise at the same price point as someone like DJI. So if your drone is, you know, NDAA compliant or meets the framework, and if the security information ends up being completely rock solid and you can produce these in mass, this is going to change the entire dynamic of the industry as a whole.
I don't mean to tout myself as this, but as a concept, this is for sure disruptive because so much of our story has been generated based off of geopolitics. The drone story over the last 4 or 5 years has been so heavy in geopolitics. And so what we've done, and something that you failed to mention, is this is a US-owned company. It's myself, three other owners, all American-born folks that have no ties to China, no ties to other manufacturers. We're just people that had a vision and went and found a way to execute on it. So anything that happens with this drone, with this technology, I can modify this drone. I can add things to it. I can subtract things from it. I could change it. I can manufacture this in Mexico. I can manufacture this in the United States. I can manufacture this in Estonia. I could do what I want with the technology that I've licensed. I've licensed really, really good technology. Really the best stuff for this class of drone, without question. I don't think anyone would doubt that this, what I'm holding in my hands, is the equivalent of the best drone you could buy in this class. But it's my technology. And if it goes wrong, if there's data leaks, if it performs poorly, it's on my company. So there's no one else responsible. It looks familiar because it is familiar. But I took that familiar product that you love and is now you're being told you can't fly that anymore because of country of origin. And I'm like, no, but you still can. Here's the way that we do that. We manufacture it in Malaysia. We take it to the United States. We put firmware on it that's developed by Aloft. They're ISO certified and SOC 2 certified. You trusted them yesterday. You should trust them today to secure your data. At the beginning of the show, you mentioned how we should be talking about a different standard. The standard should be, is your data secure or not? Country of origin aside, if the company itself is not engaged in anything nefarious that it can be proven, that company should be able to manufacture technology and serve the market. Now, beyond like countries that have trade embargoes and stuff like that, obviously. But we don't have trade embargoes with China. Last I checked, China provides a lot of things to the United States. So Anzu Robotics does not exist if we had sanity with how we regulate drone technology. If it was just, is your data secure? I would bet that there's a leading drone manufacturer that probably has spent more hours, more man hours, more resources, and more money to secure your data using drones than any other manufacturer in the world. So is your data secure flying a Chinese drone? Probably. But there's things to refute that. There's people that will say that that's not the case. And I trust those guys because they know what they're looking into. But give the manufacturer a chance to then rectify that and fix it. And that's what I'm hoping will happen with us too. We're getting penetration tested right now for any sort of cyber security stuff before we ship out the first unit. We have them in hand, but we're waiting until that penetration test says what Aloft set out to do to secure the data, they did it. And so we can't capture anything, put it up to the cloud, and it can be hacked into, taken off of an AWS server that's housed in the United States. So you're good to go. Like, that should be the standard for everyone. And then it's back to who makes the best drone, who makes it at the best price, who solves for the use case that I'm trying to do. It's not right that the state of Florida's public safety agencies were forced to not only shelve, but get rid of all their Chinese manufactured drones. In so basically for every 5 drones they got rid of, they could buy one if they were going to get new budget at all for a new drone program. So that stuff's not fair. It's not right. It's not American. We don't like keep the best athletes out from the Olympics so that we can win the gold every time. It's silly. And I think that it's being ill-advised from people that have an agenda. And me as somebody with an agenda as far as a business to like, yeah, we'll keep the heat on China. I'm saying take the heat off of China. Make it about cybersecurity, not about country of origin. And that directly negatively would impact my business, but that's what should be done.
Well, you mentioned the insanity of geopolitics, right? And a lot of people have said we can solve this Chinese security issue if we air gap these drones. And there have been some people who've said, I never use internet while flying. And those people, I don't think, have done a lot of serious drone jobs either, because you do need internet to download a background map, right? To make a flight mission. There are very basic rudimentary things that you need internet for. And so, you know, you mentioned the insanity of the geopolitics. What really drives me crazy and why I am rooting for you, I obviously want to see what happens with the security stuff. You and I know the same person doing that testing, and he's been a dear friend of mine for a very long time. That said, it sucks that we're at this point, because with the insanity, right? You've got Congress and the Senate that are literally being told to negate a competitor, right? Instead of competing with them, right? It is fundamentally un-American. It's uncapitalistic. And it's also a conflict of interest when you've got these American manufacturers that are pushing to get rid of other manufacturers because they're having difficulty competing. And at the same time, you've got the United States giving all this money to Ukraine for war, and they're buying 60% of all the Chinese manufacturing capacity of the very drone that your drone is based off of. And so it is absolute insanity. It really is. And it doesn't hit the core of the issue of what's really going on. And I agree with you 100% that if this is about securing data, then let's solve the problem. Let's not remove competition. Competition is actually good for the market. And I would even argue that manufacturing in China is actually not as economically feasible as it has been in previous decades. Right. So I will just say, like, I think what you guys are doing is almost born out of necessity. I am curious who the other owners are, and I've got some other questions for you, but it seems like, and I'm even wondering how Anzu came about. Like, did someone come to you? Was it you and these other 3 guys? Which I really want to know who the other 3 guys are.
So I'll talk about the other 3 guys, not in name, but I'll say that when you're in the drone space, it's such a small community and you're linked up to everybody that the last thing you want to do is invest in this opportunity and shut out all the other opportunities that you're already doing. So the other folks that are involved in this are established people that could help, you know, bankroll an organization like this. And they're involved in drone companies that have ties into other drone companies that this would complicate their relationships. So that's why I'm the person to do it. Now, if you had a company get started up and there's angel investors, it's not like you're publishing a list of those angel investors. You have angel investors and that's their private investment business. That's the same. If I got audited or investigated by the FBI and they said, who are the other owners? They would know who the owners are and they'd go, oh, like it's, and that's how the drone industry would respond to it as well. But there's no reason to sacrifice their privacy for someone to go, oh, okay, that's who it is. Cool. And then what, they get a few emails saying, oh, cool, you're involved in this. And they go, yeah, I'm trying to not involve myself in that. I'm trying to stay focused on the business I'm already running. So that's the story behind that. It's really like, it's a weird one for me to navigate, especially with any concerns about like, well, who's involved? Where's the money coming from? But it's just, people don't want to be talked about because they're running other businesses. That's the fact. But when you asked about the origin story, which I'll jump to real quick, and then you can ask follow-ups, is... This is 14, 15 months in the making. I have been a part of this exact concept 5 years ago. We didn't end up doing it, but this was being discussed at a very significant level where it almost happened. So keep in mind, I'm a former DJI employee. I'm a former CEO of a Chinese manufacturer. I lived in Beijing for 6 months back in 2010. I'm comfortable with international business. I traveled literally the entire world setting up reseller network for DJI Enterprise back in 2015, representing FLIR for 4.5 years. Like, I'm not an unknown face without any sort of experience in this. So I think that there comes a time when the world just provides you a thing and says, like, this is what you've been building towards. I feel like Anzu Robotics is that thing. I have been starving for purpose in the drone space in my career, raising kids. I'm like, I want them to see their dad grinding and doing his best work. I haven't been doing my best work over the last 2.5 years, 3 years since the Autel situation that was very public. This allows me to do what I do. And I think that on launch day today, the world is seeing me do what I do best. And it's disruptive. And it's still with the intention of goodness and transparency and serving the market. And yeah, I'm a part of a business with a pretty cool idea, but I promise anyone else, if you had the same opportunity, you'd take it and you'd figure it out. So yeah, I'm not doing anything. It's revolutionary in execution. It's not revolutionary as an idea. I do think that I am solely capable of carrying this thing out. Not solely. I'm particularly capable of carrying this out, not solely. Other people could do it, but yeah, this is what I was built for.
Well, I think it would be really hard for one person to run a legitimate, large-scale, mass-producing aircraft manufacturer. So right. I think you're good on the solely comment. So.
Yeah. Well, and you also mentioned the like scalability. We can build what we want to build. As far as funding goes, I mean, being able to write the POs that we've written thus far, I mean, there's not a lot of people that are putting that out for inventory, but we feel pretty confident we've been able to do that. If it's, you know, multiple thousands at a time, no problem. If it gets up to 10,000 units at a time, like, I'm in a very, very comfortable place in my life if that's the case. So demand will drive it, but we feel pretty comfortable we can scale at whatever speed we need with the manufacturing capability and supply chain that we've set up. So we're ready for that. But we've also leveraged a contract manufacturer, a marketing agency for assistance on some of the marketing materials. We're using a 3PL for distribution. We're using distributors to then send to the reseller network. Reseller network is a force multiplier in sales, marketing, tech support. Like, so it takes a village. And that's why, again, I feel like I'm particularly capable of this because I've been building these relationships for a decade in some of the most privileged organizations, the biggest organizations within the drone space. So I know who to go to. They, you know me, they answer the phone when I call. And so I've been able to put it together, you know, in 15 months, we've been able to put together something that would take somebody from ground zero, even though the impossibility of that is still there, that they would be able to do this, that it would be very difficult to achieve the same thing.
Well, I mean, if you guys end up building 10,000 drones at a time, I think it's safe to say you'd be doing double what any true American manufacturer would be doing annually. So I think it's important to understand as far as scope. Now, we've kind of been talking about some high level stuff. Getting back to the Raptor T, because there's the thermal edition, and you've obviously got the normal edition, which is two cameras, the micro four-thirds sensor, the 56 times zoom. You know, again, very familiar with this payload combination. My question, though, is, you know, for those people who are asking, okay, if there is an app through Aloft that runs this drone, a couple of questions come to mind. One, will I be able to use this drone with other, like, let's say, third-party applications, like things like Drone Link, you know, Drone Deploy, Pix4D. There's so many now. It's ridiculous. That's question number one. And question number two is, you know, are you going to have to pay extra for those types of softwares? Because there are companies that charge extra for those basic and rudimentary functions and features.
Sure. So first, as far as the SDK that's available on our platform, it exists, and we are doing, you know, the first proof of, finding our proof of concept. We are allowing one third party software developer to be the first to do it so that we learn what we don't know. Now, keep in mind, we're taking technology that we have taken the firmware in a snapshot in time. It's been passed us. We put it on our servers. We own it. No one else can touch it. No one else can modify it. It's our firmware. But it did not start from how do we get these motors to spin at a certain speed to stay stable. That was given. That was part of the licensing agreement. So the drone flies as you would expect the drone to fly in the most stable. Do you have a question? Follow up question?
Yeah, something just hit me because one of the biggest complaints about the Mavic 3 Enterprise is that you can't film good video out of it. You're locked in at that 4K 30 FPS crap. And a lot of people are, one of the questions that came up to me was, is Anzu going to allow you to shoot good video and map? Because if so, then say goodbye to the Mavic 3 anyway, you know? So when you mentioned the firmware and the customization, I'm sitting here and I'm thinking like, there might be even a larger opportunity than even I'm thinking about. So
yeah, if we went in and tried to re-engineer hardware, we could do what we want. We can modify what we want. We could change what we want. But there's obviously hurdles involved in that. And some of them then turn things into a time freshness period where, you know, there's going to be other technologies that come out. My focus is not to chase that. I want to iterate in slow increments. But really, like, this product is based off a product that is quite mature and people have known what it's going to be. It's likely going to be that product through its life, but that life is hopefully 4 or 5 years at the very least, so people can iterate on it and that we can build more of an ecosystem. Maybe we can make that sensor better. Maybe we can, you know, unbridle things, you know, like how.
Yeah, I think it's more about unlimiting the capacity for shooting video, is my understanding.
It's possible. I'm saying possible is that we can do what we want if we have the resources to do it. And if the hardware is all set, then it's just a software firmware thing. Like, we could do that, but then do we know the right people that can recode stuff? You know, is that worth doing for the broad, you know, number of our customers? But it's possible because we own it and we develop what we want on it. Going to the SDK, we will have someone doing that. The question is, when you take this technology over, we're doing a third-party penetration test, which you mentioned our mutual friend. He is going to do his own independent kind of studying, but we're getting an accredited organization to also do a third-party, do a penetration test. So it's not that guy that's doing our penetration test, but he's going to do some testing as well. I want to clarify that. When you have someone build on an SDK, let's say that it's a leading software company, also has their app on our whitelisted on our controller. So when you get it, you can use that app. Do we need to penetration test it again? Can data then get leaked? And then it's, you know, from our drone, so we're responsible for it. That's something that we don't know. That's why we're baby stepping into the SDK aspects of it. We believe in an ecosystem. I believe in, you know, pretty much every software developer out there has something that they can offer different from one another to where they're going to address a specific need to solar inspection, to map surveying, mapping, whatever. But I think we have to be a little bit cautious just so that we can make sure we're still answering the question that, is your data secure? We can say yes. Once that penetration test comes back and they say, yeah, we poked, we prodded, your data secure, we're going to go out and say, your data secure. And if it's not, you know, that's on us. But when you add third parties, I'm not positive. We just hope that it will get to that point. You asked about additional price. Drone Deploy has an enterprise version, has different features. They can charge what they want. That's, you know, on them.
But meaning like if you have, like if you can, you know, essentially fly an automated mission with your bird, you're not going to have to pay extra for that is what I'm getting.
No, absolutely not. The only thing from Anzu that you would maybe, you wouldn't pay more from us, but if you're using the Aloft app and you want their enterprise features like fleet management or live video streaming to, you know, others within your organization, there's an enterprise version of that app that you can enable on our platform. It's 100% not required. You don't even need to register your drone, your register on the app or on the controller to fly it. But that's the only thing that would come from us. And that's not a huge investment for an enterprise. It would be very useful to have those tools if you don't already have them. But to do what you want to do with the hardware you purchased, it's just purchase the hardware.
No, I love it. And to clarify, by the way, in regards to the 4K 30 question, right? We know the 4K 30 limitation on the drone that, you know, you're licensing the new production of, essentially. I don't know if I'm saying that very eloquently, but we know from the Mavic 3 Classic that you can shoot 4K 60, you can shoot 1080, 120. But as soon as they came out with the Enterprise, that disappeared, right? So I guess my question was, are you guys, is there more value, not just there's obviously more value in the security aspect. There's more value in that if they ban Chinese drones, your drone's technically not from China, so can't really fall under that category.
Well, technically, it is not from China. It's not like a technicality. We license technology all the time and we call it U.S. made, US
like an app like this. Good example.
I don't know, like people talk about the Apple stuff and I don't know the exact like connection to it, but you know, you probably have a computer monitor somewhere or a mouse from Logitech or something, and it's like that's not theirs, but then it is. They manufacture in a way that is, it's the company that is, or the TikTok situation where if TikTok sells to a US owner, they're like, fine, cool, now we're great, you could still use TikTok. But until then, it's not. We're actually changing the code. We're securing the data. And we have, it's not different ownership. It's ownership. We license technology and build this and are solely responsible for the building and navigation of the entire business attributes that go along with it. So in a way, like, yeah, it's familiar technology, but it's not owned by anybody else.
No, I understand. And I appreciate the clarification. That's why I was thinking maybe you are going to have a little bit more room to run, right? We know the hardware exists. We know the busing, the processing capability exists too. And it seems like a significant feature set advantage if depend on what type of video, right, the aircraft can film, not just do the standard stuff exceptionally well, which I think we all understand that, right? Look, so that's kind of why I was asking that question.
Yeah, well, I mean, as a former DJI employee, a longtime DJI partner in building things, what I will say is that DJI has a culture of not stepping on themselves, right? So maybe they're saying, look, I don't want the enterprise users to be trying to also do this for high quality videography. We want people to buy the videography stuff or the consumer grade stuff or whatever. And so those groups that are internally competing against one another are like, look, feature sets matter. And we don't want to solely cannibalize one or the other by having too many things on it. I think that that's the way that you build a value ladder within an organization is you say, look, we have something at the bottom right, low cost, low features. We have something up here. It is weird that the thing up here would have a feature that is less than the thing below, but that could be because they're like, look, shooting high quality, high frame rate video is not something that is like necessarily an enterprise application feature. Let's save the processing power. Let's save the, you know, file size. Let's save the whatever thing reason for enterprise type functions more so. And I'm not saying I'm in their minds. I just answering the question like that might be why that's the case. Would we be able to undo those things? It would, then there's a business case. Like how much engineering money do you have to put into something to sell how many more units or to make your customers how much more satisfied?
Yeah.
Then it just comes down to numbers. And you know, there's a lot of people that want a lot of things. What I'm trying to do is give them one really big thing they wanted and then, you know, work from there.
Go from there. Yeah, no, I know. And I'm sitting here, I'm like, more. So. I just figured I'd ask. No, I think what you guys are doing is truly incredible. I'm wondering, is my Colorado drone chargers, like quad charger, the batteries are the same pinout, right? Can I use the same charger? That was a question that arrived in our community that I wanted to ask. And I was like, it's my understanding that you would absolutely be able to use third-party chargers. I know this seems like a rudimentary question, but I think the answer is obviously yes.
Yeah, the answer is not obviously yes. The question, the answer is, if you have technology that looks similar, for sure, try it. If you're in a bind, try it. You know, it's not going to be hard to test.
Yeah.
What I would say is that I am only responsible for this. If you put a battery in it that's not green or doesn't say made in, well, actually, these do not say made in Malaysia. Batteries are still made in China. But if it's not my battery, if it doesn't say Andrew Robotics on the label, I'm not responsible for it. And now you're really complicating things by way of warranty and all other stuff like that, because now we're mismatching things. So you can try whatever you'd like. And yeah, you could probably repurpose some of the stuff that you might already have. But I would suggest that that's up to you. That is not by design.
Well, and it's funny. I think you took my question even further than what I was trying to say. I was pretty much trying to say, can I take my Anzu batteries and charge it with my existing quad charger, right? So,
yeah,
I mean, that uses other similar batteries. That was kind of my question, because that was a question that popped up in the community. I like how you took it even further. So, because I think you answered more questions with what you said. But, you know, getting back to this aircraft, you've got this RTK antenna as well that works with the aircraft. Is the workflow of that RTK antenna similar to other workflows? Do you guys have your own VRS? I know Free Fly Systems offers that. I think Drone Deploy just got into that as well. And it was one of the other questions that had come up is the RTK antenna something that I can plug into whatever VRS I want to, or is it something that's going to be limited to what Anzu provides?
So I would say that whatever's familiar with familiar technology is going to be the same, but I can't say that that's something that we've put a lot of resources into bolstering or improving the RTK. What you're going to get is RTK geotagging on your imagery, and you're going to be able to, you know, process that with higher accuracy, as well as you're going to have positioning via RTK, so the drone is going to be more stable because of that. But it's, you know, as far as doing ground stations and, you know, all that stuff, like I don't know enough about it, to be honest, to say, you know, one way or another. I know it, RTK is importantly demanded by surveying and mapping. If you have a drone that has, you know, mechanical shutter 20 megapixels and is 4/3 inch, you want to be able to process that, you know, somehow in photogrammetry, and RTK is going to lend to that. But it's going to be what you've experienced in the past with similar technologies. Maybe in the future we do things to be like that. We're that guy. We're that company that's just like really, really honed it in and made it super easy and better than what's out there. But right now it's going to be what's out there.
Well, I love it, because it's honestly really smart that the fact that you have the same camera sensor. So it's going to be pulled by every camera library that exists in photogrammetry. And I mean, you can even create your own photogrammetry software with ChatGPT. Like, we have a video coming out on that about how we literally created our own Pix 4D with ChatGPT. It's easy.
Wow.
But let's get to the fun stuff, because I want to save 2 minutes right before you have to leave to ask you questions outside of the recording. But let's go to the fun part, okay? I want to just imagine a world where we're in the United States, they have done a Chinese drone ban. Your drone does meet all the promises of security, et cetera. If everything works out the way that you say it does, what does the drone market look like now?
You might think I'm closing my eyes to envision this thing. I'm closing my eyes because I haven't slept well in like... no. Okay, first of all, if there is a full-on Chinese ban, legislation has changed. The heat on China has changed. Something has changed, right? So we have to envision kind of a different world that would get us there. And in that case, Anzu Robotics has likely changed. And we've likely checked off more of the boxes, right? We've pulled manufacturing from Malaysia to Mexico. Not that that would matter. Malaysia is safe. Malaysia is fine. Malaysia is a friendly country. Malaysia does not have these same concerns that exist when we...
One question I have about Malaysia, just while you're hitting this really quick, is are you concerned at all that Malaysia hasn't signed the Asia-Pacific Protection Agreement yet?
I have no concerns about Malaysia whatsoever when it comes to our business, but
okay.
That's not the stuff that's been keeping me at night at all. So,
Asian Pacific Act. That was the correct name. I'm sorry.
I would have to do looking into it. It's not like you caught me off guard. That's a pretty like out there thing. When you manufacture in Malaysia and you have the tariff structure that exists between Malaysia and the United States, and when you have the, international relations that exist between Malaysia and the United States, there is nothing of concern. If there's stuff specific to drone stuff that's of concern, I don't know of it and I haven't paid attention to it. I don't think Malaysia as a country of origin is going to be a prohibitor for anyone in the next 5 years or 10 years or 20 years to buy drone technology. But maybe. That's my crystal ball. I actually have a master's degree in international affairs. I was in the intelligence community before doing drones. I've spent 7 years sitting in universities talking about international stuff. Malaysia has never been a concern and is not a concern going forward. But you said full-on ban of Chinese drones. That's not happening in 2024. Most likely wouldn't happen in 2025. But if it happened in 2025, we would have likely made steps to still be able to be a supplier and be able to soak up that demand, right? We would still – that could be increasing price points, but I think others would end up having to do the same, even though I think Anzu Robotics creates a lot of pricing pressure on other drone manufacturers to figure out what they're going to do to compete. So in that world, I think that we have a domestic drone manufacturing pool that exists. It's shrinking all the time. But with players that thought they could play one game and then they keep jumping around trying to find where they fit and eventually they'll run out of money. VC funding is very, very hard to come by right now. Yeah. I'm not VC funded. The only thing I would really need funding for currently for this platform is, you know, more people to answer emails or more money to create large numbers of stock. So it's a different dynamic for me in this present moment for the period of licensing this technology. Some manufacturers will disappear. It would disappear under that. New ones would come up because they would see the opportunity. What you'd find is immature drone technology that feels insufficient, that feels not as robust with features that are missing. That's building a drone is no longer hard. Just like writing a photogrammetry software, it's no longer hard to build a drone. It's hard to build thousands of drones. And it's no longer hard to build a drone. It's hard to build drones with a lot of features. And it's no longer hard to build a drone. It's hard to build a drone that is securing your data to the extent that we've proven. So when you're looking at that pool of drone manufacturers you can buy from in a sense of a complete Chinese ban, I still think Anzu Robotics has a really, really good shot at being like the heavyweight contender because we have the best technology already matured, not made in China. There would be no concerns. It would be pulling a few, like if we have to pull a few sensors or batteries out of China because it's like a complete ban of any componentry, like a trade embargo with China, which would be like, we're basically not eating, we're not using computers, we're not using cell phones, like things changed if that's the case. Let's imagine like an apocalyptic world where we're in World War III, then I think we'll be fine selling these drones. It's a cool question, but it's like, bro, that's a headache. That's a lot of stuff happening.
I think, yeah. And I honestly, I don't see the government doing an all-out embargo or ban against China because most of the older generation that are in politics rely way too much on pharmaceuticals, which 90% have come from China. So I think that would be an issue in itself. But I just want to say, dude, I really appreciate your time today. I appreciate the opportunity that we're going to get to fly this thing, test it, do a full-blown kind of review on it. I appreciate that opportunity very much.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming on the show and explaining to everyone how this drone seems familiar, which it is, but how it's also fundamentally different with a different origin story. So greatly appreciate your time.
Yeah, definitely. But like, I would do it again. I would do it again next week. Do this regularly. It's great chatting with you. It's great talking about what we're trying to accomplish. I feel like I'm passionate about this. I'm really passionate about this project. I feel like if anyone doubts the intention, hopefully it comes across in these kind of conversations, because this is just about enabling the drone industry and keeping drones available and not hiking up prices because you have expensive lobbyists to pay. I think that that's a bad way to do business.
I couldn't agree more, my friend. I could not agree more. And I kind of want to do a whole show on there's something very small that you touched on that I feel like I felt myself, which is kind of redefining your purpose in this industry. And like kind of when you had that area of not having purpose,
yeah.
I really want to touch on that because I feel very similar issue that I've kind of had to work through myself. And so I would love to chat about that, but we'll have to save that for next time. I greatly appreciate you, dude. So thank you very much.
Yeah.
If everyone wants to learn more about Anzu, where do they go?
AnzuRobotics.com, or you can reach out to me directly, Randall@AnzuRobotics.com. And obviously our partner Aloft is a big component of this. So if you want to go through and kind of see how they're securing data, what they've been up to since 2015, if you go to Aloft.ai, you can check out their website as well. Just so you can kind of know what the whole collaboration looks like.
Awesome. Well, that's going to do it for us today. Everyone, thank you very much for joining us. We're going to have a lot more on this drone. We're going to be adding it into the course library as well. So if you even come to a drone U training, you're probably going to be able to put your hands on one just to see how familiar it really feels. But that's going to do it for us today. Thanks again for joining us here at Drone U HQ.
We believe that videos, images, words, and sounds have the absolute power to inform, inspire, and entertain. We reject indecision, confusion, and vanity, for they work against the community. We are united under the virtues of safety and knowledge. We are a training community of learners and teachers who encourage and energize each other to achieve greatness. We are pilots, videographers, photographers, freelancers, business owners, enthusiasts, experts and apprentices. We are creators. We are the Drone U.